Who wins a national championship first, Oklahoma or Texas? They both went to the playoff recently. They're both committed as hell. I think they're both eager to prove that, you know, they can be elite SEC. I think they've kind of already proven that.
Yep.
All right, man. We've had you on so many times, but this is the first time in this studio. Trey Wallace, Outkick. Thank you so much for dropping by here.
You've got it set up, brother. I love it. I feel like I'm, you know, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. I'm about to lay down an album or something. Maybe the Allman Brothers with my accent. But no, man.
We could do that as soon as we're done.
Exactly.
Break out some of these instruments.
I mean, we're in Nashville. I mean, why not? Let's see if I can be a hit maker. No, man, it's good, man. It's good to join you. And this has been a long time coming, getting in here. So this is awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Dig it.
What's your favorite thing about covering an event like the SEC basketball tournament here in Nashville?
You know, honestly, I think it's getting in front of, first off, like all the fans. Just seeing everybody kind of come into town. I know it's a lot of Kentucky. I get that part. But, you know, there's small sections of like Missouri today, for instance. You know, and then you get into the quarterfinal rounds, you know, where, sure, Kentucky takes over. But, you know, you see Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas, Ole Miss. You know, I've seen runs in the past, you know, where other fan bases come in and kind of take over. So it's interesting. I love that it stayed in Nashville, and I like that it's going to be here. I think right now the contract runs through 35, because I didn't think the other spots worked, like Tampa and St. Louis. You know, I was in Tampa. Tennessee won that year, and I was in Tampa for that. But it didn't feel like. I wrote an article during the week, SEC tournament week, just talking about, look, how it helps the local economy. It's good that the city of Nashville has embraced the tournament. And everybody can really get here. Like, that's the good thing. I mean, like, you know, if Billy Lucci or Texas A&M fans want to get here, they can get here. You know, and that goes for everybody, Oklahoma, whatnot. So, yeah, man, I really think it's just getting everybody together, gathering, seeing colleagues, you know, which is great. Probably the best thing is I'm not in a damn courtroom. Like, I'm not at the White House. I'm not in a courtroom. I'm not talking about NCAA legislation and all that type of stuff. Like, for a couple of days, we can have fun with basketball getting into March Madness.
Yeah. Probably one of the best things about your job, you get to travel all around.
Yeah.
What's your favorite SEC town? Maybe let's exclude Nashville, that you get to visit. And I'm not even saying, like, the best one. I'm saying Trey Wallace's favorite destination.
Yeah. Athens.
Really?
I like going to Athens.
Yeah.
You know, I live an hour outside of the University of Tennessee's campus. It wasn't because I covered Tennessee or anything like that in the past. It was, you know, a beautiful area. Love it. Whatnot. I think Cousin Shane probably said the same thing. but I was at Athens twice this past year. One for the Bama game, Texas game. Just something about that town. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I could find 18 different things to say great about every college town, even Nashville, you know, coming over here and covering a couple games for Vanderbilt. But Athens stands out to me a lot. Columbia, I think, is another spot that I enjoy. You know, but I mean, overall, all these towns have something to offer. It's, you know, like Texas A&M being in it now. Oklahoma's been a fun trip. Been to Oklahoma a couple times. But I would probably, I think Athens would probably be at the top of the list right now. We're not talking about stadiums or anything and environment. It's just college town. Go see a badass band or something, you know, a couple days before a game.
If it's the right game and everything, there's not a bad choice.
Yeah, you know, it's right. And it's also easy for me to get to, man. Like, you know, I mean, I could be there in 4.5 hours. I'm not saying, like, you know, whatever. I can get out of the airports and get to just about anywhere I want to. But I think, you know, overall, you look at the historic landscape of downtown area. Yeah, man, it's fun. You know, a lot of crazy ass people, and I enjoy it.
You joked about the courtrooms and all that garbage. Are we getting to a point where, like, this is getting ridiculous? Because it seems like most of the fans are kind of, like, over that stuff anyway.
You know, from what I can tell, and I'm not talking about, like, clicks or anything like that on an article, just talking to people are just sick and tired. They're look, if a court case goes in their favor, Ole Miss fans are ecstatic about Trinidad. I don't blame them. That played out like an episode of Matlock being in that courtroom. with the judge getting all emotional and whatnot. You know, being in a small town, I'm from a small town, from Mobile, Alabama. But being in a small town like Pittsburgh, and, you know, you're in there and you're like, damn, this is the NCAA versus Trinidad Chambliss. And we are literally in a courtroom that you've probably seen a John Grisham book or a movie or an episode of Matlock. Like, it was just interesting to me. And I think that we're at the point now, man, if, you know, going back, you know, it takes me a minute to realize this, but it's been 3 years that we have been dealing with things that have to do with stuff off the field.
Yeah.
Meaning we're not talking spring football. You know, we're not talking depth charts. And I get that stuff can get nauseating at times. I understand it. Like, you know, we can sit here and talk about teams all day, but until they go do something on the field, September, whatever. But I think that the NCAA stuff, I think the NIL stuff, I think all this eligibility stuff, fans are tired of it. They would really like to get back to just the shit talking, you know, of college football, having fun with the teams and, you know, not having to worry about, oh my God, is the Big Ten going to do this, right? You know, or ask for the NCAA to stop looking or penalizing for tampering. Okay. You want them to stop, you know, regulating their sport. I think it's small things like that. We've gotten to a point now, Michael, where fans have kind of said enough is enough. And I don't know when it's going to stop, because this is going to continue. It's not as if Congress is going to pass something, you know, in the next year or two. I mean, folks are, you know, they can get all hell-bent on how Washington needs to get involved, but newsflash, midterms coming up. Right. Like, I know we ain't getting into politics, midterms coming up. Like, these congressmen and women have more things to worry about than college athletics. You know, and even the president's thing, you know, last Friday, it was a waste of time. It was a big waste of time. And I think that, you know, was it interesting seeing all those folks on C-SPAN and whatnot? Sure. It would have been great to have a college football pregame show going into that. It would have been fantastic. But at the end of the day,
McAfee outside.
Right. Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. And it's like, and you know, and the crazy part is, brother, is, you know, when you really look at it and you really look at all the people in that room and you're sitting there watching and, you know, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. You know, when it's the president, it's the president. It is what it is. Same thing be going on with Obama, Biden, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when the president's sitting there talking about college athletics and talking about, man, we should just go back to the old days. It's like, brother, shit ain't happening. Like, we're past that point. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're not going back to just handing out scholarships.
Right.
You know, and $15,000, you know, deals. If that were the case, we can just go back to dropping bags on the back porch or in a shady hotel parking lot. Because, it, you know, and if they really wanted to do that, Michael, I promise you some of these schools, you know, like Alabama, I'll use for instance, Alabama would go back to dominating recruiting if that were the case. Auburn would dominate recruiting, you know, right. And I'm just giving a few examples here as somebody that was from the state that kind of grew up and knew how to do it. So, yeah, I mean, long answer. You know, I hate to go on a rant, but yeah, I mean, people are just, they're tired of it. And I don't blame them because, you know, I have spent more time in courtrooms in Washington, D.C., talking to lawyers about shit that I have no idea about when this first started, you know, and trying to learn all that. You know, I've added 4 different titles to my resume now. And it, you know. Sure, some of it's fun, but
whether you want it to or not.
Right. Like I like the crazy, like I went from Pittsburgh, Mississippi to Knoxville, Tennessee to cover 2 court cases in 2 days. One of them won Trinidad, the other one Joey Aguilar. He ended up not winning, you know, his case. And then you had the Bediako stuff. Like, people are just tired, man. Tired of hearing about it. And I think also at the same time, I think these players are probably making more than they should. But when you know, the problem is we don't know what the market is for these guys.
Right.
So when you really break it down, some of the numbers that you hear and whatnot, I think they're a little bit off. But at the same time, yes, the star players are making $4, 5, 6 million a year. And in my opinion, they deserve that.
Right.
Because I think the NCAA took advantage of them for a long time.
Well, in America, if someone's willing to pay you, that's what you're worth. You
right.
Know what I mean?
And that's the thing, dude. Like, I don't blame these kids, and I say kids because some of them are 18. If we're talking about transfer portal players, all right, we're 21, 22 years old. Fine, whatever.
25? 25,
20? 26, 27, 28. We got a 30-year-old wide receiver playing for Arkansas right now.
Yep.
Monty Harrison. Really good kid. He played 10 years of pro baseball. You know what I mean? It's like everybody.
He's a grandfather.
Right. No, I'm just, everybody forgets about him in Arkansas, but, you know, he did it the way where he walked on and whatnot. So, what we have lost the plot in college athletics. We have. And I don't know what it's, I don't know if we'll ever get back there, but I think it's going to come to a point where, you know, either there's going to be a revolt, you know, by the fans and they just stop tuning in and hearing about this stuff. Or we get to a point where the NCAA or the conferences, like the SEC, says, you know what, we're going to come up with our own rules and we're going to govern ourselves. And, you know, you
how realistic is that though? Because I was going to ask you that.
See, that's the thing. Like, you can try to take advantage of the conference and how big you are, how many big schools you have, and how much money you have. But you had the opportunity to govern yourself before NIL was involved. So what the hell makes you think you're going to be able to govern yourself when NIL is rolling? And that's the thing to me. It's okay. You're gonna have rules around tampering. You know, you're gonna have rules around NIL payments. Are you telling me you're gonna set up a salary cap, which is essentially what it is? Revenue cap is a salary cap, which just goes for all sports. Because when that happens, Mike, you're going to throw the gloves off. You're going to say, well, okay, we're not going to have a cap.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody talks about the College Sports Commission and the House settlement. What a lot of people forget is there's been no document signed that, hey, we're going to abide by your rules. So I think to me, where we're headed right now is the SEC is doing a lot of quiet threatening. And, you know, presidents and chancellors meeting in Nashville during SEC tournament week to discuss what that would look like if they were to branch off. I just think we get to a point one day, to be honest with you, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, whatever. SEC, Big Ten, kind of join up, do their own thing, have their own championship, and see how many other teams they can poach from other conferences.
Right.
And go forward from there. You know,
Let me ask you this, though. Sorry to cut you off.
No, but, yeah.
Because I was talking basically the same conversation with someone else.
Yeah.
And basically, and I'm not disagreeing with what you said.
Yeah.
But if they do it that way, what they're doing is they're creating mini NFL.
Yep.
And at what point would people be saying, well, why am I watching an inferior NFL? I'll just go watch the real NFL, which is already popular enough. You know what I mean? Like, there's a threat. Right. You push it towards that, and then people are going to be like, what the hell? This is not college I wanted, and it's not nearly as good, perhaps, as the NFL. You know, that I think that's a dangerous game to play.
That's why I don't think it'll work. I think you're going to lose out on a lot of your fans. Fans are already, you know, leaving is a strong way to put it, but they're checking out. You know, when it comes to season tickets, when it comes to parking, whatnot, donations, everything's getting hiked up. You know, you've already outpriced the family of four that wants to go to a game. And I'm talking about a non-con game. You know, no offense. You could go be playing UT Chattanooga, not Chattanooga State, you know, Dan Lanning, UT Chattanooga or whatnot, and, you know, buy games.
Right.
But it's still going to cost you $600 to go take, a family of four. That's too expensive. I'm sorry. I think that there's ways to implement certain things the NFL does. Training camp, for one, you know, let's do that in the summer. You know, spring can be, you know, involuntary workouts, however you want to put it. And then summer you can have some kind of training camp, you know, and then you start season a little bit earlier. I think if you start joining all of these conferences together, you know, who's going to run it? You know, whose rules are you abiding by? You know, it's like back in the pro wrestling days where you had the NWO black and white, and all of a sudden the NWO red and black comes along, and it's like, well, who the hell is running the place?
New World Order, baby.
Right. And you had Eric Bischoff trying to run everything at the same time. And what happened at the end? You know, you thought it was big and bad. Your ratings were great. Everything was going swell. Then all of a sudden it went into the tank. You know, and Vince McMahon comes along. Well, who's Vince McMahon in this process? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think you're getting to a point right now where, you know, the numbers aren't going down when it comes to television. College football is still college football. I love college football. I love college basketball. I love college baseball. Women's softball is great. Whatever. But at the same time, you're running fans away from your events. And when that becomes the case, and you got ADs out here begging for money and donations, and please come support us, fans are going to be like, no. No, you're, what is this? You know what I mean? This is not what I grew up on. And I think that's what's been lost. A lot of people ask me, you know, when do you think college athletics lost the plot? And I remember a basketball team. It was Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield at Tennessee. And the only reason I remember this by that team was so personable. You knew that team. You knew the players on that team, Lamonte Turner, Kyle Alexander, Jordan Bowden. I could go on and on. The fans felt like they were invested with that team. And I could say that about a bunch of, you know, Marshall Henderson at Ole Miss. You know, look at all the Auburn teams with Bruce Pearl. We've lost that now. Where with the transfer portal and the one-year rentals, and when fans hear about how much money the players cost to rent for a year, you're losing that connection. And I think that's what we're seeing in college athletics right now, where, you know, you don't have the quarterback sticking around for 2, 3, 4 years anymore. The whole 1 year thing is throwing people off, and I can't say I blame them. I feel the same way at times.
I just heard an LSU fan the other day say, we have paid $3 million per SEC win this year.
Yeah.
And when you start saying stuff like that,
right?
I think you got a real problem when we're looking at how much we're spending, how much we're winning, like, oof, we have turned down a dangerous, dangerous path.
LSU, yes, and I agree, because you look at other teams that could come out of nowhere. Right. You know what I mean? Look what Ole Miss did this last year. But I agree, because when you really look at it, and the amount of money that you're spending on this product, and that's what you're getting in return, you're like, man, this ain't worth it. You know what I mean? If Lane Kiffin goes to LSU and loses 3 games next year, his ass going to be on fire.
Yeah.
And he knows it. He knows it. He's ready for the challenge. He understands it. But LSU is supposed to be a national championship contender. So what I'm getting is, you got all these fans excited. It's an adrenaline shot. That's all it is. You've injected a shot of adrenaline into the program. Now, Lane Kiffin's job, and Virg Osprey, AD, new AD's job, is to maintain that now. Continue building that. And if you can't, they'll run Lane out of town. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing.
The governor.
Right, the governor. You know? It's like the same thing that's going on in Oxford. I know we're kind of getting off on a little bit of a tangent here, but it's like the same thing that's going on in Oxford right now. Everybody was stoked to get behind Pete Golding when Lane left. Why? Because it was the cool thing to do. Okay? Like, it was Pete Golding against the system. Pete Golding telling Lane Kiffin, go F yourself, brother. I'm staying in Oxford. I ain't going with you. Okay. Well, you had that momentum. Now it's Pete Golding's job. You know, Walker Jones at the collective, athletic director, the Ole Miss school, to continue building upon that. You know, you've got lightning in a bottle right now. Why? Because Lane Kiffin left. Everything that happened around it. Pete Golding stayed. Trinidad stayed. Kewan Lacy stayed. So there are some programs around the country that have this connection to their fans for certain different reasons, as you can tell. And so I'm curious to see, you know, which ones can stick with it and build upon it. Because a school like Auburn, who has gone through absolute hell when it comes to coaching over the last 7 years, you know, they're like, damn, what am I supposed to get excited about? I'm supposed to get excited for Alex Golish, who's a great coach, by the way. Did great things at USF, was a great OC at Tennessee. But you have to get excited about the offense. So, you know, finding different things to sell about your program is interesting in this day and age of college athletics. And hey, you know what? That's just where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just made me think of something. Now, there's literally no way we could know this answer. But let's say Kiffin went to Florida instead of LSU.
Man, yeah.
Do you think a lot of those Ole Miss players are still at Ole Miss, like Kewan Lacy? Because Because why I'm asking is, I think the fact that he went to LSU and all that went that transpired, that really fired up, obviously, the Ole Miss fan base to generate the money to pay those guys to keep them. You see what I'm saying?
Like, talking with a good amount of folks, first off, I think Florida has the right man for the job.
And
John Summerall.
Mm-hmm.
Make that point first. But I don't think there would have been as much vitriol. And the vitriol led to Ole Miss saying, F you, Ole Miss. I mean, I'm sorry. F you, LSU.
Right.
We're going to outspend you to keep these players. Now, at the same time, you got 18 to 23, sometimes 29-year-old players that also don't want to get caught up in the suck. And the suck is all the vitriol of going to another school, dealing with all that, tugs on the heartstrings. Keywon Legacy had a lot of offers. Trinidad had an offer from LSU if you were to leave. But Trinidad saw how much LSU was helping him in his court case, and even with the funding and the NIL that came with it. And so I think that it would have been different for some players. I'm not saying all. If Kiffin would have ended up at Florida compared to LSU, because there already wasn't that built-in hatred between those two rivals. I'm not saying all the players would have left, but probably a few more that would have been there. And I don't know if we're – I'm not going to – I don't know what the reaction would have been like from folks on campus, because that was a shit show.
Yeah.
You know, from that Egg Bowl on, even before the Egg Bowl, Scott Strickland was in town, interviewing him during the Citadel week. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that it would have been – just as crazy, but I don't think folks would have had the LSU or, Ole Miss Florida game circled a year in advance. You get what I'm saying? In the way that they have it. Like, I'm ready to put in my credential request now for that game, right. But I don't think the National Guard would be needed in Oxford for Florida versus Ole Miss compared to LSU versus Ole Miss.
Well, speaking of Ole Miss, you know who's in witness protection program?
Who's that?
Pete Golding.
Yeah.
So all this Dabo shit.
Yeah.
Is he going to get in trouble, you think? I mean, the guy literally, he doesn't even have his introductory press conference yet, which obviously that ain't coming, but
no
signing class update, nothing.
I think what you're going to see, and talking with a number of folks about this, Ole Miss's defense is, well, look what we have on other schools.
I'm sure.
Look what we have on Lane Kiffin and LSU. Okay, cool. You want to come after us? Okay, your next stop? Better be Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Right.
Or your next stop better be so-and-so College Town. I don't want to talk about schools that are involved.
College Station, Austin.
Right. Because all of them were tampering, in some form or fashion during that whole debacle in Oxford. That's Ole Miss's defense. It's not really a defense of, hey, we didn't do this. It's, hey, you coming after us. You better be prepared to go after 10 other schools the same way you're coming after us, because we've got the evidence that proves the other schools did that. That's what I think gets in the back half. Now, you asked about punishment. I think the NCAA has enough to be like, Pete, my man, you're going to have to be on the sidelines or off the sidelines for a game or two. Do I think that they'll do it? Let's see how tough the NCAA is in this. But they have enough evidence. And the coach is starting to talk up more now. Cool. But like I said at the time when Dabo did it, you better not be throwing massive stones out of that glass house. And I think the reason why Clemson felt comfortable enough to go after Ole Miss is because Clemson ain't involved in the transfer portal a lot. They don't have a lot of the tampering and whatnot going on inside their program. What do they take? 3 players from the portal? So, like, So, like, they're not worried about the tampering thing. Whereas in other schools, look, I mean, if you're going to survive in college athletics, I'm sorry, you got to figure out a way to tamper.
Right.
I mean, what do we have, during SEC tournament week? We had accusation from Queens College in North Carolina that an SEC assistant coach was buying courtside seats to go ahead and get a head start on recruiting one of their players. That's just where we're at. And if you want to call that tampering, have at it. Cool. That's fine. But, again, if you ain't tampering, you ain't trying.
Yeah.
And tampering, I mean, you know, I guess tampering really didn't go on before the portal. We probably could call it something different, but it was like a last minute drop of a bag. That's what tampering was before the portal. Now it's, you know, hey, get on the phone. I can get you here. Here's how much we can offer you, but we're going to go through a third party, which is most likely an agent, a street agent, a friend, somebody close to it. So I think Ole Miss gets penalized, but also at the same time, if they, like I said, if they do that, there's going to be more schools that end up getting hit with something.
Now, this would have seemed like it's just an asinine question, like a year ago, maybe even, but given everything you just said,
yeah,
could a case be made? And I think it's valid. Of course, I'm not a big Dabo fan, but I would rather have Pete Golding than Dabo as a head coach. And that's, again, Dabo's got multiple national championships, but in this era, with the NIL, with the transfer portal,
yeah,
if you're playing that game, he might be right. That might be the right way to do it.
Right.
But if no one else is doing it the quote-unquote right way, good fucking luck. And this is why Dabo could be fired in a year.
You know what? Here's the other thing, too, about Dabo. I like Dabo. Okay? I do. As a man, I like him. But also, you want to go back 10 years? You want to talk about what was happening 10 years ago? And I'm not throwing accusations or anything. Right. I'm talking about, I mean, we all know what college athletics was 10 years ago.
Right.
Like we were talking about earlier, hidden payments, you know, and how these players got some of their funding.
Sounds like you're saying Butch Jones did it the right way.
Right. Good Lord. That was a freaking train wreck. Didn't he have a helmet to fall on or something? Man, that was just bad. God bless Butch Jones. He can continue coaching Arkansas State against my South Alabama Jaguars all the time. I see your point. And I would say that right now, Dabo Swinney is coaching like he's up against the ropes or in the corner and getting pummeled in the body. And he's trying to survive. He's trying to survive to the next round. And I think my question going into 2026 is this his last round at Clemson? Then he can restart this thing. Because I thought it would be in his best interest to go somewhere else and start over.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, Dabo Swinney, I think, is an overall better college football coach than Pete Golding, but in this era right now, I'd probably say you want to be a good CEO and be able to delegate things out to other people. So maybe, you know, maybe Pete Golding turns into that guy. Could. And maybe you go with Pete Golding right now because Pete's not afraid to take the knife out and stick you in the back. I don't know if Dabo is willing to do that. And I don't think coming out in a press conference where he was interviewed, you know, introducing Chad Morris is showing me that, oh, man, Dabo's turned into a heel now. He's a bad guy. He's about to run college football again. No, man, you just went on there and you got upset. And that's fine. You aired dirty laundry. More power to you. That's good. Cool. But you better be able to back it up in 26. I think Pete Golden is just getting started with his career, and I think he'll be successful, in a sense, in this era of college athletics because he's got a good group of coaches and people running the program around him.
Just make sure you don't text the players yourself.
Yeah, no shit. Stop, man. Like, what are we doing? Like, oh, man, I have story. That's like the former Tennessee staff under Jeremy Pruitt, you know, allegedly – you know, going into a closet and seeing a box of phones that they thought, you know, were burner phones, but they turned out to be University of Tennessee issued phones. They were just in this big old box and
whoops.
Oh, let me do all my dirty shit on this phone. Wait a minute. What are you talking about, university lawyers? This is your phone? Oh, damn. I thought it was a burner. Okay. Well, here's all the bad stuff that I did. Like, you know, I mean, there is stupidity in this sport. You know, and people can do some really dumb. Now, by the way, just on the Pruitt thing, Jeremy Pruitt has served his penalty in college football. Okay. I don't care that you gave $3,000 in a Chick-fil-A bag to a player's parent. I don't care anymore. That's great. Congratulations, you did it. It was a Chick-fil-A bag, folks, not McDonald's. Let's get it right. And it was outside the facility, not inside the facility. That would have been Brian Niedermeyer allegedly handing out manila envelopes to players lined up. Probably trying to pay off all that credit card debt he racked up.
With his, didn't his parents own all his money or something? Sharing account?
Something like that. But he, you know, God bless him, man. I mean, he tried. I give Niedermeyer credit. He swung for some big names out there. He just, you know, allegedly did not do it the right way. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's good to see Pruitt back in college football. It'll be interesting. I wish he could be on the sidelines, you know, down there at, North Alabama. But just, you know, it's like I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago about it. It's like, think about where we were, I don't know, 4.5 years ago with Pruitt, you know, our Nick Saban and Jimbo bitching back and forth at each other about what sliced bread and how much it cost to put together a roster. And think about where we are now in college athletics. Boy, oh boy. There were some people that knew what was coming.
Yep.
And now we're sitting here like, we're taking on water. We got to fix college athletics. Well, it's like, you know what? You dumbasses allowed this 5 years ago. So here it is. Deal with it now.
Well, speaking of foolishness, perhaps. No, maybe not.
Okay.
How bad did Auburn screw up John Sumrall?
Yeah.
Because, again, you just praised Golish, and I think he's a good coach, too.
I do, yeah.
He could be an excellent hire. I love the quarterback too. I think they're gonna make Auburn
be good,
really good on offense next year. But I have been told John Cohen doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah,
and the freeze thing solidified that for me, obviously. And then this Sumrall flirtation, who I think everybody that knows anything about John Sumrall thinks he's a good coach. Yeah. Even the Florida fans that were like, we can't hire stupid
G5 coach again. What are we doing?
They're all on now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think he's going to do great there. But I still think Auburn screwed that up.
I thought, and I said it during the time, that the best coach out there when everything started in college football was 80 miles south of Baton Rouge. You know, LSU maybe should have gotten John Sumrall. Now, that's no disrespect to Lane. Lane was the hot name. Lane was going to get that job. That's who LSU wanted. But we were just talking straight football coach, not offensive guru, like overall. It was Sumrall. And I think that when things, the problem is somebody that grew up in the state, knows a good amount of people within the Auburn, system.
Right.
They listen to the money men too much. And when you're listening to the money men too much, and folks, I've talked about the bag men, the boosters, okay? The people that fund the football team. When you're getting their input too much and you think, well, man, we can't do a John Sumrall thing. Where's the excitement in that? You know, we saw him down in Troy. I mean, folks forget, like, he was an hour and a half away from Auburn's campus.
Yeah.
We can't do that. You know what I mean? We saw what happened at Florida with Billy Napier. We don't want that same thing to happen to us. But the problem is you went out and did it with Golish. You know, like I get the conferences and whatnot and whatever. That's fine. You went out and got what you thought was the splashiest hire at the time. Come in and be excited. How many times has Auburn tried to sell an offensive coach to their fans over the last 10 years? You know, 2-3 times. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that Auburn, somebody said this to me. They were making a Hugh Freeze joke, but they said, man, we'd have loved the mulligan on the whole John Sumrall thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say I blame them. And that's no shot at Alex Golish. That's just reality of right now and looking back on it, because I think John Sumrall's won the offseason, and he's not doing it on social media and whatnot. And making slide jokes or what's the craziest thing he said so far? That him and his wife aren't going to Italy because he has to focus on Florida football? No shit. Really? You just took the farm job. Can't go to Italy. Like,
meanwhile, Lane's at the beach right now.
Right. Lane's at the beach right now. And he's wanting to tweet out pictures or post pictures with Kirby Smart, supposedly.
Right.
You know? But what people don't understand about Lane Kiffin's social media, sometimes he has his kids take pictures and post it to make it look like he's there. You know, so I think, you know, to go back and just overall, sure, I think there's some remorse down at Auburn. I think John Cohen, he's got two things going on. He's got Stephen Pearl going on with the basketball squad. And by the way, Bruce Pearl didn't do any favors for Stephen Pearl.
No.
You know, but at the same time, he had to get this goalless thing right. And I think the Auburn athletic department right now is in a state where they got to fix a number of things. And I don't know if Alex Golish is going to be the one to fix everything that's going on with their program right now.
Well, speaking of Alex Golish and screwing up then.
Yeah.
Can you share anything on Arkansas? I mean, they almost hired him. And then the next day, he was Auburn's coach.
they almost hired him until they got that. So it's
like all the almost hires I would have loved. And again, I don't hate the hires they made.
No, but Silverfield's good.
Some are all at Auburn, Golish at Arkansas. Those feel like home runs to me.
If,
of course, I don't know who Florida would have hired then, but
if Arkansas, I don't. I'm not going to say it, but you know, once it got out, mm-hmm. like, hey, we almost got Golish. And by the way, that was somebody with money and influence that got that out there. Golis was like, wait a minute, what's up? Like, okay, you pissed off the wrong person is kind of what I'm getting at. Now, at the same time, Auburn had reached out. And Auburn, you know, if you had to pick Auburn or Arkansas, okay, you know, you're Alex Golis, you're trying to make this decision. Folks forget, you know, a number of years ago, Golis was potentially going to go be the OC for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. So he knows the SEC besides being at Tennessee. So I think it came down to him being more comfortable at Auburn compared to Arkansas. And I can't say I blame him, because you look at what Arkansas is doing right now. Sure, they just signed the big Tyson sponsorship. Great. Well, John Tyson's been giving a shitload of money to the basketball program for a number of years. And he's doing it even more now with John Calipari as the head coach. And yes, I know Arkansas fans would love to be good at football again. And 8-9 wins, you know, every now and then. But I, looking at it overall, I think that they can sell it, but they can't sell it like Auburn can sell Golish or Florida can sell Summerall. And I think that's why they missed out. But if we're just being honest, and this might take a minute for Arkansas fans to digest a little bit. You're not the same job as Florida and Auburn, and that's okay. You can get to that spot. You've been there before. You can be there again, but at the current time, you weren't. And so when you're weighing those options, like, I don't blame Golish for backing out of the Arkansas job. If Auburn would have called me last minute, I'd been like, okay, you know, maybe Auburn is the better spot. I know I got a lot of bullshit I got to deal with, but mm-hmm. I can deal with that. I can tell Yellow Rain. Yellow Man to back off a little bit. And at the same time, you know, not have to worry about going to the country club every day, you know, to fill folks in. You know, you give me the money, I'll take care of my roster, back off. If you want to have success with this football team, let me do it. And by the way, the only success in the eyes of boosters that are giving money every single year to these programs to come a-calling, because some boosters get that last-minute phone call. Hey, man, look, the other team upped the offer. We need $400,000. It's done and sealed. Okay, here's your $400,000. The only ROI that they really get deep down is seeing their team either hold up the CFP trophy at the end of the year or cut down the nets at the Final Four or win a College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's what other satisfaction do you get out of it? Like, cool, I gave $5 million to this school. Okay, now I can go brag to everybody about it. But if they shit the bed, you know, like Kentucky. Kentucky put together, I know we're going off here, but Kentucky put together a reported $22 million roster. Man, how much, you know, bragging rights does the Kraft family have right now? You know, thinking about that. So I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things that go into this NIL stuff. And you know, we were talking about Arkansas and Auburn and whatnot, which one's better. You know, maybe John Tyson, when they signed this new agreement, was like, all right, cool. Let's figure out more ways to invest this money legally and without third parties. And, you know, they figured out a way. Let's see where they can go with it.
And I know, so I've already seen this, you know, literally everybody on online, you know, who's the next Indiana?
Oh, gosh.
You know, I don't know that's even, you can recreate that. But yeah. if I'm Arkansas, if I'm Kentucky, or you know, anybody, Auburn even, yeah. I'm not trying to be the next Indiana. I'm trying to be like Ole Miss.
Yes.
It wasn't that long ago. Ole Miss was on the even footing with all those. Even Kentucky.
Won in seven games.
And now Ole Miss is top three winningest program in the conference since 21.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, again, that could be a lot of Kiffin and all that, but there's no reason, you know, these guys have been hired at these places can't be that. So I asked, not to set you up to say Kentucky's about to accomplish that, but what do you think about Will Stein and the commitment there? Because I was always probably a little too harsh on Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
But he
I think
had to
we
go.
All were.
He had to go.
Yes. They needed a reset at Kentucky in a bad way.
Now, it could go the other way.
Could go the other way. I get that. But I also think at the same time that it was almost like the Calipari thing. You know, without a national championship or a Final Four or Elite Eight or whatnot. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes, man, the relationship just gets stale.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't know who to trust within your athletic department. I think Will Stein is going to be great at Kentucky. Now, when I say great, folks on social media don't go crazy and, oh, great, he means CFP. No. I mean that they're going to be a team that you're fearing every weekend, that you're scared of getting beat. Kind of like what Mark had, what was it, 4 years ago, pretty much?
It certainly seems like he's energized the fan base.
Yes.
And that's a great start.
And it's hard to do. You know, it helps the football program. People aren't going to like this, but it is what it is. It helps the football program. The basketball program kind of shit the bed a little bit underneath Mark Pope. They're like, oh, well, let's go pay back attention to Will Stein, see what he's doing with the team during winter workouts in the spring and what he's done with the transfer portal and whatnot. Like, good for him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened. Like, it's not just because they got Will Stein, but you needed that. You got to launch your football program. This is a new era. Don't forget, they're going to have a new AD in charge when June comes around. So, I think that Will Stein is going to be good for them, like I said. I think he is, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to have him in contention, but who's to say? And nobody can come in deep for this because it's just reality. Who's to say Kentucky can't be a South Carolina from last year fighting for a playoff spot? You know, who's to say Kentucky can't be a Vanderbilt? You know, it could happen. We have proof. We have South Carolina was what, two spots out of the CFP 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt, a couple of spots out, you know, of the CFP. But look at all the press that Vanderbilt got this past year and what they could get in the future. Ole Miss is the perfect example. You know, Ole Miss is the example. It doesn't have to be Indiana. There won't be another Indiana, man. Indiana and what they did and how they did it with veteran players and just dirty ass grit along both lines of scrimmage. You know, I was going back. It was funny. A couple nights ago before I came to Nashville, I was going back through videos. I was cleaning out my phone. I came across a Steve Sarkisian video from SEC spring meetings last year where he said, and I'm paraphrasing because I have the video right here in front of me, but he said, I don't think we see another undefeated team in college football. With the way the schedules are. No, those were his words. He said that part. I don't think we see another undefeated team. And then he went and talked about why. And straight, what happens?
Indiana goes undefeated.
8 months later, Indiana goes undefeated in college football and beats the shit out of teams. What they did to Oregon and Atlanta, Lord have mercy. You know, beating Miami for the national championship, beating up on Alabama out in the Rose Bowl, what they did during the regular season, you know, I don't think folks out there need to be like, how can we be the next Indiana? Goes back to what you said. How can we be the next Ole Miss? that's where you get going here. Because there ain't going to be another Kirk Cignetti. There's not going to be, in my opinion, another school like that with Indiana, period.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Let me ask you about Carolina.
Yeah.
Shane Beamer.
Yeah.
Now, they just came out this week and said the basketball coach, Lamont Paris, is coming back. I've heard that's a lot of that is just, hey, we don't want to fire this guy, do a buyout. Then we got to get a new coach. And then they're already thinking we may have to move on from Beamer, which I certainly I don't hope that I don't want that to happen.
Paul Maneri, baseball coach.
That's just kind of that's the state of things right now, right? Where you almost got to remain. If you don't know for a fact that you've got all the money to make all these moves,
right?
And football's got to be bright.
Yes.
Does that, you know, but the fact that they're kind of thinking this, and maybe it's just smart, but man, Beamer is, do you think he'll survive there?
I do, because I think he will turn things around this season enough to get another year.
Right.
And then continue building that. If Shane wanted to leave South Carolina, Shane would have left South Carolina this past year. I think the reason why Lamont is coming back as head coach of basketball, yes, financials. But where did that financial money go? Where did that go to? Went to football. You know, you can say it was the collective that helped and all that good stuff, but how'd you get Dylan Stewart back? How'd you get Lenoris back? We're looking ahead to the next year and what we have to do in the portal. Maybe a little shadow portal going on. That's a new freaking term in college football. I love shadow portal. Who made up that shit? And I get it. But at the same time, I think that I'm not trying to make excuses for South Carolina, but damn, they had a lot of bad injuries last year. And now they're going in the spring without two offensive linemen. You know, right. It doesn't help. But you got a talented quarterback. You got talented playmakers on offense. You got defense that should be good. Like, I look at them on paper, should be good defense. Now, again, I'm not saying they're going to contend, you know, for the SEC, but I am saying get 9 wins out of that team this year. You know, you can be in contention for the playoff for the first month of November. And if you're at that spot, you're good. Because with fan apathy and where we're at now, man, you got 5 losses by the first month of November. Fans are checked out. Let's get ready for next season or basketball or baseball, whatever the hell you got going on. You kind of saw that with Tennessee last year. You know, once they lost that game to Oklahoma, it's like, all right, cool. Let's see what Josh Elander can do without Tony Vitello here.
Right.
You know, so like, you know, in a perfect world, South Carolina would strike gold with the basketball coach and the baseball coach. And then you're set in all three. You know, I think South Carolina would love to have been in a spot where they had, you know, you go back to 23-24 for like Tennessee. I'll use them as an example of recent success in a sense. Where you had Josh Heupel, Rick Barnes, and Tony Vitello. Like, holy shit. And by the way, I'm talking about the Tony Vitello, you know, coming off the 2022 game against Alabama. You know, the year after, and yet where they were building the program. Last year was horrible for them, you know. But I think that's where South Carolina would love to be. And I think that when you strike hot in all three of those sports, man, look at the amount of money that you can get out of that. So South Carolina said, well, wait a minute. Are we going to spend, you know, $25 million to fire our basketball coach and at the same time, handled the new coach, his staff, NIL, players coming in, or we hold off on it, we got some extra money for the football program. And think about it this way, too. These folks are thinking 3-4 months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of these folks knew in January that this was not going to be a good season for South Carolina basketball. So, like, okay, let's go take care of guys in the transfer portal for football. Let's focus on football. That's not a shot at South Carolina basketball. That's just reality of where we're at in college athletics nowadays and balancing a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Shane will have success this year. I don't know how to define success in this era because everybody has different opinions on what that is. But I do think that come the first week of November, you can still have South Carolina in the college football playoff talk. Well, let's see where it goes from there.
Yeah, and I don't mean to make excuses. You know, I've heard, well, South Carolina just not committed to football. I've heard people say that, but it's like, I know it was a poor record, right? 4-8. injuries. Everybody's got injuries. But two things. They should have beat Bama.
Yes.
They had them.
Yes.
They let the rope go. And Bama was a playoff team. Bama was the number one seed in the SEC championship. I think people forget that.
Should have beat the other playoff team.
Should have beat A&M. They were whooping their ass.
Like beating the dog shit out of them.
Now, they got their ass whooped in the second half.
Right.
But point being, you don't just fall out of damn bed and go to College Station and whoop them for a first half.
Correct.
You don't take it to Bama for 3.5 quarters. Like, there's a program there that clearly they're committed and they know what they're doing. Now, again, is the record acceptable? No. But we live in this SEC now where everybody's got all this money. Now we're going to a 9-game. Like, people have to lose.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you sign up for 4-8 every year, but if South Carolina goes 4-8, I would not be stunned if the next year they're 9-3.
Yeah.
And then the next year they're 5-7. And then the next year 10-2. Like, and that's not just Carolina. That's literally across the board.
Look at Florida and LSU. Hello.
Right.
I mean, look at Florida and LSU.
Are we just going to fire people when they have one bad year? And
I mean, Florida, LSU, Tennessee. I can keep going here. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if Bama doesn't beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl, you know,
can't believe DeBoer went for that.
Right. We're not talking about like 4-8. I get that for Alabama, but we are talking about losses that are not acceptable at certain schools.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I think it's not as if South Carolina fans went overboard. I'd be pissed off too if my school had lost that many games, knowing the amount of money that we were spending. But sometimes, man, that's just life in college athletics. You have a shit year. Like, South Carolina proved to me the year before that they can be in contention. And I think that's what all just fans want. They want to be in contention. They want to have something to talk about the first weekend of November. They don't want to be out of the conversation. I think that's where South Carolina can get back to that point and potentially build towards the future. And if not, you know, if it came down to it, and South Carolina is not good next year, and you know basketball ain't good either. I'm getting rid of all three. I'm getting some private equity, and I'm going to hire a football coach, a basketball coach, and a baseball coach, and we're going to try to turn things around. Yeah. Like that's just kind of where we're at now in college athletics.
Were you surprised Joey Aguilar didn't get his, what was it he was going for, injunction?
His injunction?
Or whatever?
No, because his lawyers presented a shit case.
Yeah.
And that's not their fault. They could not, the judge, man, sitting in that courtroom, it was crazy. I knew this would not be some home field advantage for Joey Aguilar once that judge started grilling Joey Aguilar's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Well, show me proof of what the market value is of a quarterback in college football. Show me proof how much money he's actually losing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tennessee can say, well, you know, we're prepared to offer him, pay him $2 million next year. And then they got to court and said, well, $2 to $4 million. Well, Judge Hagler, which one is it? And then they wanted to throw out, you know, they wanted to use Arch Manning and Garrett Nussmeyer and Brendan Sorsby and Sam Levitt. I shouldn't have said Garrett Nussmeyer. I meant Sam Levitt. As examples of money that quarterbacks are making in college football. The problem is they couldn't prove it. There are no contracts out there. You can't go off hearsay. The judge literally said.
He wouldn't accept on three graphics?
Right, yeah. He literally said in the first 40 minutes, I was good, of that entire thing, he said, I can't go off conjecture. And right then, I was like, okay. Like, I didn't know if it was over or not, but I was like,
yeah,
okay, I came into this thinking Joey is going to get one because they had a Tennessee booster as a judge, allegedly. God, I got to throw that out there because he's a chancellor. I'm sorry, it's chancellor, not judge, chancellor. I want to get it right. But at the same time, I was like, no. I walked out of that, and I was like, I don't think he's getting it. Like, cool. Coin flip, sure. But even his attorneys would have told you that they didn't think it was.
Where are you at with Heupel? Because I think I've, I don't know why, but I guess just the offseason, I talked myself into circles. I was kind of, I think what I keep telling people is the day Nico walked out the door.
Yep.
If you would have told me Tennessee went 8-4 with this quarterback UCLA didn't want, I would have said, good. I mean, he must be coach of the year, right?
You lost a quarterback after spring practice. Your starting quarterback. A quarterback that had garnered headlines for 3 years since he's hired and since he signed out of high school.
Yeah.
Since his reps leaked the contract to everybody and their mother.
Did you buy one of his pajama pants?
No, I didn't. Okay. I was not a customer.
I got a couple pairs.
Yeah, do you?
No.
Cousin Shane got a couple.
Shane's got a lot.
Shane still holds them up. He hangs them on the Christmas tree. We got to remember the good times.
Shane was so ready to see Joe Milton go,
yeah.
As was all of Vol Nation. You
right.
know? They want Nico.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a staff putting their foot in the ground, saying, okay, you know, we're done here. Go play your game somewhere else. And at the same time, it was Nico's side shopping him around, you know.
Yeah.
Nico could have been a shopping cart going around Walmart. They were trying to get offers from everybody. And at the same time, they were getting offers for his brother, who was in Arkansas, who hadn't thrown a damn ball yet
right.
in Madden. You might love it, not Madden the game.
well, Arkansas found out all about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what Josh Heupel was able to do and how the trade worked out with UCLA to get Aguilar, sure, it didn't go as well as they thought. Should have beaten Oklahoma, you know.
Yeah.
Had a chance in that first half to beat Alabama. And I'm not saying they would have won. I'm saying that they, Joe didn't throw the 99-yard interception. Who knows how that game would have gone. That's what I mean by that.
A solid kicker makes a kick against Georgia.
Shit, the game's over.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so you look at all of it, and you really go back and break it down, and you realize the dude had 5 months with a quarterback in a system that they somewhat changed to a pro style because they had to. Josh Heupel got a tough year hit. There is a lot of people that look at Josh Heupel and say, damn, I wish it was 2022 again. Why can't Jalen Hyatt be running crazy in the, you know, in the secondary wide open? Why aren't they seeing that anymore? Why is it not Cedric? And I'm just using names. Or Cedric Tillman, Valus Jones, and Jalen Hyatt. Where are those three that are taking over games? So, like, now it would have been, yeah. you know, Brandon Staley and whatnot. I could go on. Matthews. You're seeing it because defense has kind of picked up on things a little bit. So, if you're good at what you do, change things on the fly. I think there were times last year where we looked at the offense and were like, okay, like that's acceptable for a quarterback that has really had 4.5 months to learn an offense that is complicated. But this is a big year. And it's a big year because they didn't get into bidding wars over quarterbacks. If they had wanted to, they could have had Sam Leavitt. But Lane Kiffin decided to play games and wanted to act like he was flying in commercial into the Knoxville airport because he got a stock photo and tweeted it out when his ass was literally at TAC Air next door at the private terminal. That was so funny when he did that. I was like, God, man, just stop being so damn overboard. But there were times where they could have spent money, a lot of money, you know, on a quarterback. But at the end of the day, they were like, okay. And I think it's a smart thing. Let me tell you something. There is no reason you should have $4 million sitting on the bench. And that's what you would have had with Faison Brandon and George McIntyre sitting on the bench. You'd had $4 million sitting there. I think we're in an age now where you can't do that anymore. You know, they paid Nico pretty much two.
Yeah.
Sit on the bench. Big year for Josh Heupel. Got to win 9 games this year. Got to be in contention for the playoffs. If you come out and you shit the bed, I don't think you're going to have the excuse of McIntyre and Faison to rely on. Because, why? We're in a different era of college athletics, man. Like, fans expect you to win now. And when you don't go do something in the portal, because you could have gotten one of them. You know what I mean? You could have gotten one of the transfer quarterback, not Ryan Staub from Colorado. Like, no offense to Ryan.
Right,
but
right.
I just... This is one of those years where he goes out and hires Jim Knowles. Great hire, but fun fact, it's going to take them 2 years to pretty much install a Jim Knowles defense. So what they do, they go out and they get some players that are familiar
right.
with the Jim Knowles
speed
type of
up.
Defense. So they're trying to speed that up a little bit. I think they have offensive weapons. I think McIntyre and Faison have talent. Now, here's the thing. I ain't really seen them play college football. I damn well haven't seen Faison Brand play college football. Seen George McIntyre a little bit. So I don't know. And if I'm sitting here, if somebody sits here and says, man, Tennessee's a 9-win team next year. They're full of shit. They don't know what the quarterback is like. I don't care what he did in mop-up duty against Sisters of the Poor. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what Faison Brandon did in high school. I don't care. Because my first thing would be, okay, well, cool. Go look what Bryce Underwood did against Oklahoma last year. Didn't really show out, did he? Like, there are different examples that I could go to about these players that have never seen the light of day on a field yet. And so the answer is, I don't know. But he's got to figure out a way to win 9 games and reinvigorate that fan base. That's a pissed off fan base. And it's not all just because Josh Heupel. You know, Tennessee fan base as a whole is pissed off because Tony Vitello's also not around. You know, fun fact, he went because he wanted to chase a dream. They look at their women's basketball program and it's gone to shit. No offense, it is what it is. Just reality. They look at Rick Barnes and they see a coach that they know he's on his way out at some point. And as much complaining as some Tennessee fans do, man, other programs would die to be in, you know, to beat Kentucky in a Sweet 16 and make an Elite Eight back to back, whatever, you know. So for Heupel, I'm not trying to put the whole pressure on the athletic department on him, but it's a big year for Tennessee when it comes to, you know, enthusiasm and being able to sell the program. And while the pressure is on Josh Heupel to win in football, overall the pressure needs to be on Danny White. Because I think that, again, it's his job to raise money and fund everything for these schools. That's what athletic directors are mainly doing now. They're fundraisers, mm-hmm. but they're very smart. Danny White's a very smart dude. Man, he knows how to piss off the Tennessee fan base with certain things that he does and says. That's okay. Like, that's okay. But that goes on to affect football and basketball and baseball, you know. You know, I think they'll be good because they got talent on defense, talent at running back, talent on the offensive line, talent wide receivers. My biggest thing and how I'd be able to grade them is I don't know about the talent of the guy throwing them the ball. Give me 4 games. I'll tell you what I think after 4 games. That's kind of how I look at Tennessee for next year. But I do think that they need that shot of adrenaline again back into the program.
Yeah, I just asked Dari Noka this, and it, like, blew his mind, so it put him in a weird spot, but
okay.
Who wins a national championship first, Oklahoma or Texas? They both went to the playoff recently. They're both committed as hell. I think they're both eager to prove that, you know, they can be elite SEC. I think they've kind of already proven that.
Yep. I say Texas.
And keep in mind, you were the man that said Texas is losing 3 games.
I told y'all. I mean, I'm sorry.
So you're not biased for Texas?
No, I'm not biased for Arch. I told you guys he's going to need a year
right.
as a starting quarterback to be good. Well, what happened towards the end of the year? Started looking good.
Right.
No shit. He hadn't been on the field yet. There are only certain athletes that could ever just go on the field after playing a minimal amount and be the star quarterback your team needs to go win a title or contend for a title. Arch Manning told us in media days. I mean, I don't know, why are all these people crowning me? I ain't done anything yet. I got to go prove it. Okay, well, the last 4 games of the year, he proved it to me that he can be a good quarterback in 2026. What they did, the transfer portal, going out getting Cam. They did good. Now let's see if Sark can take that step. They've gotten close, you know, so can they, you know, they got the money, they got the facilities, they got the players on the roster, you know, they're going to have a target on their backs next year because it's Texas and because it's Arch Manning. Can they do it? Yeah. I still question a little bit John Mateer in Oklahoma. And I know we're talking about who can win one first. And mm-hmm. I know that's down the road a little bit. But I think you can get it more.
But either one of those could win this year, even.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy thing about it. Like, if we're going head to head, like, right. I'll take Texas right now. But I'm curious to see what Oklahoma does in the portal and stuff moving forward. So to me, it's it's Texas by a small horn.
All right, similar question. Better head coach today, you know, with all that's involved. I'm not asking better offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, anything like that. Sarkisian or Mike Elko?
Mike Elko.
You think so?
I think Mike Elko is a better CEO.
Yeah.
I think Mike Elko knows how to delegate things.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they win a national championship.
You know,
we can
sit here and talk about splash and, you know, who puts on the show and whatnot and, you know, who's the defensive or offensive genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sark knows how to do things. That's fine. But I look at a head coach now in college athletics as somebody that can delegate roles and be the CEO of a program and make the tough decisions. I think Mike Elko can do that. I think that they just ran into kind of like a buzzsaw last year at the wrong damn time. Sure, Sarkisian, and he is the head coach at Texas. But, man, in this era of college athletics, Texas A&M, Texas, same damn thing. You know what I mean? The only difference this year, in my opinion, because they both got money and they're both spending it, one Texas as a quarterback with the last name Manning. One Texas as a quarterback with the last name Reed. Who's getting more headlines out of that? Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's going to work out for either one of them. Who knows what happens this year? But I do think Mike Elko has shown in a short time period that he can, you know, say, hey, I got other things to worry about. You go handle this. You go handle that. You go handle this. You know, so from a whole, I would go with Elko.
All right, and then one more.
Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer, does he make it at Alabama? Because I really do think he is one of the best coaches in the game right now. But I just don't know about the fit. He's inconsistent. At least he has been in 2 years at yeah. Alabama.
Yep.
And there's some people that didn't like that from day one. They could win a championship, or he could go to the NFL. He could take Southern Cal. I mean, I think anything could happen there.
I think the risk of taking the job after Nick Saban is going to come back to bite him. And I mean that in a way of, I think Alabama is a 3-loss team next year. So is Alabama going to sustain 3 losses? They're going to want to keep going. Because I don't, you know, who would have, I'm saying 3 losses. That could turn into 4.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, here's the other problem. We don't know if they got a quarterback.
Right.
We think we know that they have a quarterback, but we don't. What, am I supposed to judge a quarterback because he went in when you were getting your ass whipped by Indiana and played in the Rose Bowl? No. Like, I think they have talent there. But we talk about Kalen DeBoer overall. Kalen DeBoer is a really, really good football coach. Kalen DeBoer also walked into a hornet's nest that was Tuscaloosa, Alabama, after the greatest coach that in recent modern history had retired. He wanted to be the guy that followed the legend. He signed up for this. So you're going to have to deal with the repercussions of what happens if you don't live up to that. And I'm not saying you have to be Nick Saban. You don't. We're past that point, man. But I am saying you better have them in contention for a national championship, and you also better be consistent with it. And to me, Alabama kind of backdoored their way in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's see what he does in year 3. And, you know, we're also in this era, too, where, you know, he was tempted with other jobs this cycle. I'm not saying he talked to him or anything like that. Just a temptation that's out there. When you see other jobs open up and something's not fitting, okay, let's take a step back and let's move on. What if a big job opens up next year and he throws up a 9-3 or something like that, brother, and something else opens? So, The problem is, he's, again, like I said, he's never going to live up to Nick Saban. He's never going to live up to however many national championships, you know? So you're always fighting that. You're not running from it at Alabama. And I'm not, he's not running from anything. Right. Like, I give him credit. He put his head down. He stuck to it. He's still doing it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Alabama fans and the boosters around there that were used to winning and winning and winning and winning, and if they didn't win, they at least had Nick Saban. I think that's what comes back to hurt him in the end. And maybe he proves everybody wrong, and they go out there and they go 12-0 in the regular season next year and playoffs, and let's see what happens. It's a crapshoot when you get in the playoffs. But as we sit here right now, I could see an opportunity opening up next year somewhere else that maybe gives him an out. We'll see.
All right, and then very last thing. Really appreciate your time, Trey. I was completely caught off guard by this, and then I started checking around, and I think there's massive concerns in the college community for the coaches.
Yeah,
where the NCAA has come out, and now I don't think they've officially made this, but they said they're going to try to pass it through to where if you add a player after spring, you can get your revenue docked by like 20-25%, whatever.
Right,
coaches getting suspended. All this stuff, and the point being, these coaches are terrified that at the end of spring, the tampering is going to start,
yep.
and there's going to be players that are just going to simply unenroll and enroll at a new school, and you can't stop me from transferring.
Yep.
So wisely, for the first time in a while, the NCAA has done something wise, perhaps. It seems like they're preemptive, trying to make rules, and instead of going after the players, because they're losing their ass in court every time, they're going to go after the programs and the coaches. That may be the only way to stop this, but do you think we're heading towards a spring where this is going to be happening?
I think you're going to see a couple of players test it, and then more players jump in. Because, hypothetically here, how are you going to punish a school for a young man's decision? A young man decided to unenroll at one school and go enroll as a walk-on.
Right.
Because, by the way, these walk-ons, how you get around roster spots as a booster pays for the damn tuition. Hello? That's college football. But sometimes it's college basketball. It's college baseball. How do you punish the institution without hard proof that there was some kind of finagling going on? I know that's hard to believe, but what if a kid was just like, all right, you know what? I'm going to take a chance on myself. I know this is rare when I say this, but I'm going to take a chance on myself. I'm going to leave here. I don't want to be the third string guy when I can maybe go be the first string guy at a lower tier school, you know. Are you going to punish an AAC school or a Sunbelt school? You're going to punish them 20% of their budget because they took a player from Alabama? We were recently talking about Alabama. So they were talking about a player from Alabama? They took one that could start for their school? Like, now we're getting into the tricky waters here.
Yeah.
Because everybody else out there is thinking about, no, these are going to be the big name schools that all this benefits. We're forgetting about the players that leave spring practice and see, well, damn, I'm third on the depth chart here, but you know what? I go to App State, Coastal Carolina, or whatever, I could be the starter. There's a lot of people out there that are looking over that fact and thinking, no, it's going to be the DB at one school, big name school, that gets an offer from another big name school, and that's why they unenroll and go enroll there. Like, I'm sorry. Okay, that's fine. You can think like that, but I'm thinking about the players that know they might have a better opportunity to get on the field somewhere else and not have to sit out for 2 to 3 years. I guess credit to the NCAA for like putting something out there. I think it's a bit much, you know. Where are the penalties for some of the stuff that has recently happened in college athletics? And you want to penalize a coach 5-6 games or something and take away 25% of their football budget? For one player? I mean, damn, where were you in these schools who were breaking all sorts of types of rules beforehand and you didn't punish them at all? So,
if nothing else, I think it's a huge threat. Is that's what they're going for. Whether they can even enforce it.
Yes. It's a threat to scare the shit out of people.
Right.
Let's see if it works.
Yeah. All right, Trey. Really appreciate you giving us so much time.
Had a great time.
Can you tell our audience how to follow you and how to find your work?
Yeah. Follow me at TreyWallace_ on social media. Follow all my work at outkick.com. Man, we're pushing through. It's March Madness. It's baseball season. It's spring football. It's litigation. It's White House visits. It's everything thrown in all the one. But I'm glad I finally got to come in the studio. I had fun with you. We got to break it down and just talk some ball as well, which is great because we're getting here and have to think about, you know, what the president might do to college athletics and what some senators might do and whatnot. It's just college football. I had a good time, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Cut it right there.